for radio, and you know he's a lot of things. So welcome to the show, Scott.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Could you tell us a little bit about anti-war before we get into, you know, why you think Iran is like the next hotspot of war, I guess?
Well, antiwar.com was founded back in 1995 by Eric Garris and Justin Raimondo, and we were all libertarians, and we try to feature the very best liberals and conservatives of anti-war voices from all different aspects. And we're very ecumenical about that, and we get about 100,000 unique visitors a day, about 8 million page views a month, and antiwar.com is a very important source, I think, for the anti-war viewpoint, people to be informed. We have a lot of great in-house columnists, and I'm lucky enough, I've been working there for about 2 years now.
Yeah, for sure. I guess, you know, the main thing that I want to, you know, get across today was how significant significant Iran is in the Middle East right now. Over the weekend, there was sanctions were placed against Iran. And what was your immediate reaction to that?
Well, I guess in the scheme of things, it may be a good thing. In it will give the diplomatic people a chance to say, hey, let's give this a chance to work, rather than, you know, the war hawks, you know, need all the arguments against them that the diplomats can come up with. So I guess if the UN is doing something, it's a delaying tactic. But I'm afraid that at the same time, what it's doing is it's granting legitimacy to America's claims that Iran's nuclear program is illegitimate and that something must be done about it. So I think it may stave off war in the short term, but it seems to make war more likely in the long term.
Right, right. And so the sanctions we're talking about, sanctions versus direct actions versus military action towards Iran, right?
Right, yeah.
And would you be able to just give us a bit of background about how much of a threat or how significant is Iran's role, let's say, over the past year and a half, let's say? Because on one hand, you have, let's say, the hawk saying Iran is next. Iran is an immediate threat. But just from your work with antiwar.com, could you put Iran's role kind of in a bit more context for us?
Well, Iran is not a threat to the United States of America at all.
Okay.
Which is a very different picture from what, you know, the average public gets, right? Because the average public understands it as, you know, Iran is an immediate nuclear threat to the greater good of humanity, I guess, right?
Well, yeah, and see, that's the thing, is they're always very vague about it. What they really mean is that Iran is a threat to Israel, and I'm not even so sure that that's true, to be perfectly honest with you. In terms of a nuclear threat, they're not a nuclear threat to anyone. In terms of, yes, do they have medium-range missiles that could hit Tel Aviv? Yes. But, of course, Israel has over 400 nuclear weapons and could turn all of Persia to glass. So is Israel really threatened existentially by Iran? No, if you want to get into the state of their nuclear program further, that's okay, too. But just in the larger sense, whether they're a threat to the United States, let's be clear about this. Iran's navy, at best, might be able to get in a few good hits in a hasty defense of their coast. Their air force may be able to get a few lucky hits in defense of their airspace. Did they have the ability to field an army anywhere near the United States or bring a navy or deliver any kind of warhead from Persia to North America? Of course not. They are no threat to the United States at all.
So you're basically saying that, you know, the fact that the United States and the UN is saying right now, they're saying that Iran has nuclear weapon capabilities, right? And right now they're building their facilities for that. You're basically saying that those claims are not legitimate.
Well, I'm saying there's no evidence to back that up. And to cite my evidence, I will cite Seymour Hersh from the New Yorker magazine, The Next Act, which was published last November, and also my own interview with Scott Ritter, the transcript of which is available at antiwar.com, where Scott Ritter says that he has friends inside the Israeli Mossad who tell him that they have no evidence whatsoever. The CIA tells Seymour Hersh, and in fact, what Hersh reported last November was that there's a national intelligence estimate by the CIA that says they have no evidence whatsoever of a secret clandestine nuclear program of any description. The nuclear program that is in Iran is above board and is monitored by inspectors from the International Atomic Energy Agency and is not geared toward developing nuclear weapons at all. In fact, they're attempting and not doing a very good job of it, from what I read in the British press, to enrich uranium to 3.6% when above 90%, some say even above 94%, highly enriched uranium, 235, would be needed to make a single bomb. And they're just not there. If you ask any of the experts, the CIA National Intelligence Estimates, Mohammed El-Baradei from the International Atomic Energy Agency, they'll tell you they're 10 years away. And there's no evidence that they've even started to try. So 10 years, as Scott Ritter said, basically means they're at zero now. There is no nuclear weapons program in Iran.
It's always good to debunk myths with the solid, you know, concept of evidence, right?
Yeah.
Because sometimes evidence gets lost in, you know, popular media discourse. This kind of...
But then again, at the same time, right, like they had... Like, this kind of just reminds me of the whole, like, Iraq situation, right?
I was just about to say WMDs. We're back to square one with that. Would you be able to put into context the kidnapping of the British soldiers? Because that kind of, I'm speaking from the standpoint of popular media in Iran being villainized. With the whole kidnapping of the British soldiers, that kind of puts them more in the light of being a rogue state, being a state that, you know, the world at large should be very weary of. Could you kind of put that in context for us?
Well, I think the United States has been, as a policy, doing as much as they can to attempt to provoke a sort of Gulf of Tonkin incident in the Persian Gulf that they can use to justify further warfare. And the reports are conflicting. Everybody, use your Google News search engine and look around, and you'll find that the Iraqis say that the British were in Iranian waters. And the Iranians say that they can prove it. They haven't delivered proof of that yet. But at the very least, the waters where they were, I forget exactly how to pronounce the Shat al-Arab waterway, I believe it's called, is disputed. And we're talking about water. There's no, you know, demarcation borders. And the lines there are disputed at best. So it's not as though there's a clear-cut case that they came into Iraqi waters to take the British soldiers. And, you know, this happened back in 2004, I believe it was. And they did a little negotiating, and they got their soldiers back. So is this the kind of thing that could be used to take a further step toward full-scale confrontation? Yes, but at the very same time, it's the kind of thing that diplomats can solve very easily if they are allowed to try.
You know, I'm going to play the devil's advocate right now and ask you if you think, you know, the president of Iran is kind of giving the illusion that they do have nuclear weapons, and you know it's up to them. I don't know. He's kind of from someone who's, you know, who observes the mainstream media, right? The impression that I'm given, right, is that, don't get me wrong, I agree with you, but the impression that I'm given is that, you know, Iran has nuclear weapons, and there's nothing wrong with that because, you know, they're a country, right? They have every right to. I mean, the United States has it, Israel has. Why shouldn't Iran have it?
Well, so that's two separate questions there. First of all, no, Ahmadinejad and no one above him have claimed to have nuclear weapons. They all emphatically deny that they're developing nuclear weapons. They say that they are developing nuclear technology only for electricity so that they can sell their oil and consume their local uranium supply. This is a matter of energy needs for their country. The Grand Ayatollah Khamenei has issued a fatwa, religious ruling, saying that nuclear weapons are banned by Islam and that their country will never develop them, and nor should any other Islamic country. Not that his rulings are binding on others, but they are presumably binding on the country he's the ultimate dictator of. And and I understand your impression, and it's fair that you have that impression because there's a lot of disinformation out there. But mm-hmm. I don't think that anywhere can you find even liars saying that here Ahmadinejad claims, ha, we have nuclear weapons and we're threatening you with them. That as just as a statement of fact, that has never happened. They emphatically deny even doing research toward nuclear weapons at all. Now, second question, whether they have a right to nuclear weapons or not. I don't think anyone has a right to nuclear weapons, but I also don't think that America has the right to stop any other nation state from having nuclear weapons. A nuclear weapon cannot be used for strictly defensive purposes. You basically cannot avoid killing innocent people by deploying a nuclear weapon. So does anyone have really the right to a nuclear weapon? No, I don't think so. But in terms of the reserve powers of a nation state and what belong to them and what belong to our country separately from each other, it's none of my business if they have 100 hydrogen bombs, very simply.
That being said, you know, we have to quickly wrap up because we're running out of time. But, you know, just quickly tell us, how likely is it that, you know, the United States will go to war with Iran or attack Iran in some way? How likely is that?
I'm afraid that it's very likely over the long term. As Scott Ritter, the former UN weapons inspector, explained to me on my show, the policy is regime change. The nuclear program is simply a pretext. They have decided they want to destroy the government in Iran. And by the way, if they do bomb Iran in the manner they're talking about, a few thousand sorties and bombing all their military and nuclear targets, all that's going to do is make matters much worse for the United States. They're going to fight back bitterly. They can cause trouble all across the region. They can probably deploy suicide bombers in Europe and in Israel. They can hurt our Navy in the Persian Gulf and surrounding waters. They have supersonic missiles they've gotten from Russia and China. They can perhaps close the Straits of Hormuz and shut off Middle Eastern oil to the world's markets. If America bombs Iran, it's going to be a catastrophe. Oh, and I'm sorry, I left off the most important one. The Shiites, who are the quote-unquote good guys in Iraq that America is backing, are also the ones most loyal to Iran. When America says that the Iranians are backing the bad guys in Iraq, they're backing the same people we are. And if we bomb Iran, those people are going to turn on the United States Army. And so you think about the hostage crisis back in 1979. They have 160,000 American hostages in Iraq right now. So do I think it's possible or likely? Yes. Do I think it's the worst idea ever? Yeah, that too.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us, Scott. And once again, if you want more information about Scott Horton or anti-war, all you got to do is log on to antiwar.com. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll get to talk to you soon again.
Appreciate it.
All right. And coming up next after the break, quick music break, we're back with Addis with the Helms Fashion Show. And she's going to tell us why it's the hottest thing, why everybody needs to reach it this Friday. Get your tickets while they last.
Why should wealthy companies be allowed to pay poverty wages? Over-